Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Gimel, about eight lines from the top, you will notice two dots. In general, you'll find in the printed Gemaras, the two dots represent some type of break in Sugya, introducing a new topic. Especially, you'll find a two dots in the presence of a Dibur HaMaschil quote from a Mishnah or a Brisa. In this particular case, we're actually in the middle of a long discussion, all part of a bracketed section of Gemara, which started at the bottom of Beis Amid Beis. We have a series of questions, and we're up to number four. All of these are cases where we have an action done which clearly contradicts what the person says. And according to the rule that Rabbah told us, when you have a machshava, you have maisa moichiach, where the action clearly shows that what he is doing is not according to what his machshava was, so such a machshava has no value, has no influence, and the action is what is koveya, is what establishes what the thing is, what the korban is. We are up to number four in our attempts to challenge that principle. The Gemara continues, Kodshei Kodshim Sheshachtan Batsofon, the high-level holiness sacrifices that are slaughtered in the north part of the temple courtyard of the Azora, L'shem Kodshim Kalim, where the owner or the Kohen declares that it is being shechted for the purpose of low-level sacrifices, low-level holiness sacrifices, Kodshim Kalim, Lirtsu, they should be acceptable, and the owner should fulfill his requirement. And we know that that is not the case. We know that if you have kotshe kotshim that are shechted shelo lishma, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. But according to the rule that we saw, that Rabbah gave us in his attempt to resolve the stira in Rabbi Shimon, we had seen that where you have a maise mochiach, where the action shows that his machshava or his declaration is a lie, so we saw in such a case that the machshava, that the thought has no influence. And yet here we have a kotshe kotshim that's shechted shelo lishma, because it's being shechted as a kotshim kalim, but it's being done in the north. Well, shouldn't that demonstrate maisehen mochiach? The Gemara goes on to say, maisehen mochichen alehen the kodshe kodshim ninu. Shouldn't the northern slaughtering demonstrate unequivocally that it's in fact a kodshe kodshim? De'i kodshim kalim, if it were a kodshim kalim as per his declaration, well, Bedorom Havi Ovid Lahu, he would have been doing it in the southern part of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. The southern part of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard being a place that's fit for Kodshim Kalim. The Gemara responds and says that this action, the taking of a Kodshe Kodshim and slaughtering it in the north with a declaration as its being a kodshim kalim, the northern slaughtering does not actually preclude it from being, in fact, a kodshim kalim, as per his declaration. Amor, the Gemara answers, the Omar Rachmona Af Bedorom, when the Torah spoke about southern courtyard slaughtering as fit for kochim kalim, it is not saying that it's that kochim kalim is slaughtered only in the Dorom. Kochim kalim is slaughtered af bedorom, even in the southern court part of the courtyard. But and when we say even in the southern part of the courtyard, what are we in effect saying? We're saying that that the northern part of the courtyard is also fit for kochim kalim. Therefore, you don't have the slaughtering in the northern part of the courtyard a clear demonstration that it's koche kochim, because the koche kalim can be slaughtered in the north as well. Bedoroim velo betzafo mi omar. Did the Torah say in the south and not the north for the kochim kalim? Disnan, the Mishnah says, Shritasan, the slaughtering of kochim kalim, b'chol mokom va'azora. And therefore, if you see someone shechting, taking what is supposedly a koche kochim, slaughtering it in the north, and declaring that it is kochim kalim, the action is not a clear demonstration to the contrary of his machshav, of his declaration, because, as we just said, the northern slaughtering of an animal does not preclude it from being a kochim kalim, because kochim kalim can be slaughtered in the north as well. So we understand that since the action is not a clear repudiation of his machshava, the machshava takes hold, and that's why, when in the case of kochim kochim that is shechted l'shem kochim kalim, it would be a shechita shelo lishma, and therefore lo yirtzu. The owner would not fulfill his requirement. We continue with number 5, bearing in mind Rabba maintains that actions that don't match his words demonstrate that his words are meaningless. Kochim kalim sheshochton badorom l'shem koche kochim lirtzu. Low-level holiness sacrifices that are shechted in the south. And we might point out that the south is a place that's not designed for koche kochim, and yet he declares that he is slaughtering this animal as a koche kochim. Lirtzu, the sacrifice should be acceptable, and the owner should be able to fulfill his vow obligation with such a slaughtering. Maasehen mochichen alehem, the southern slaughtering of these sacrifices show maasehen mochichen alehem the kochim kalim ninhu, that these are clearly low level sanctity sacrifices like a korban shlomim, etc. Di koche kochim, if these were in fact koche kochim, b'tzofon have ovid luhu, they would have been certainly done in the northern part of the Beis Hamikdash courtyard. So what do we have? We have an action that clearly contradicts his declared machshava. The action being the slaughtering in the southern part of the courtyard, which is not a place for koche kochim, and yet he's declaring that it's koche kochim. So according to the rule that Rabba laid down, the action clearly demonstrates to the contrary of his machshava, and therefore the machshava should be void. The Gemara says that is not true over here. Amri, people could say that this is really koche kochim ninu. This really is a high level sanctity korban as per his declaration, and the slaughtering in the south is not a clear demonstration that it's kochim, that it's kochim kalim. Umeaver hu do avar v'shochelu bedorom, and he's simply violating, avar is doing an aveira, he's violating the rules and shechting it in the southern courtyard. At this point in the Gemara, we have a bracketed section. We've used an angular type bracket so as to distinguish this from the general brackets that we have in the sugya, bracketing off from Beis Amud Beis till Gimel Amud Beis. To distinguish the type of bracket, so we have this type of bracket, and there's also a length indicator that accompanies this. You'll see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a vertical dotted line. So if you follow this till the end of that vertical dotted line, you'll notice where these angular brackets close. On the outside, in the inside margin, you'll notice a note. Matras hasograim, the purpose of these brackets, kidei lishmo aretzef hakushos, to maintain the continuity of questions, al tshuvas rabba, questions that are directed against Rabba's response, the idea that he spoke about in terms of maisa mochiach. The tocha sograyim, within the bracketed section, hagmor makshe sidro shel kushois al tshuvas rabba la kushya deliel. Within the brackets, the Gemara will ask a series of questions on with regard to Rabba's answer to the original question of the stira within Rabbi Shimon's. So let us go over the original answer Rabba gave to the stira within Rabbi Shimon's. That was that where you... do a minchas machvas l'shem minchas marcheshes, and you're bringing it in a machvas, so it clearly shows that it's not a marcheshes. Rabba had mentioned that there is a difference between shinui kodesh and shinui bailim, and in the case of shinui kodesh, for example, the Minchas Marchvas, to bring it in a Minchas Marcheshes, there you had a Maise Mochiach, as opposed to a case where you took care of, where you processed Reuven's Korban for the sake of Shimon. For the sake of improved accuracy, we'd like to go over the point or the note that we are making with regard to these internal brackets, these angular brackets. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will be asking a series of questions, or there will be a back and forth discussion regarding this last answer that the Gemara gave regarding question number 5. The Gemara, or Rabba, had answered that in the case of Kochim Kalim that were shechted in the south with a declaration that they're Kochim, that it's not a clear demonstration that it is in fact a Kochim Kalim, because we can say that what this man is bringing is a Kochim, and he's simply over on the mitzvah or the halacha of north and is shechting his koche kochim in the south. So the Gemara in the brackets that we have here raises a question on that, and we've also indicated with a house marking that turns directions at times point facing upwards and at times point facing downwards. We have a tat no se mivne explanation that's in these brackets. You can see this in the outside margin, and the tat no se mivne besocha sograyim, the house pointing upwards is part of a ma'akav here, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion. So with the point facing up, kushios hagemora makshe al hatshuva me'avrehu de'ovar, the Gemara will be asking on the answer that Rabba gave regarding the supposed obvious action is not so obvious. It may be, in fact, what he declared it to be, and simply is processing it incorrectly. With the house form flipping over, the Gemara will answer, will be offering an answer. So, after the bracketed section, as we mentioned before, the Gemara will get back to cases where a person does an action that seems to clearly contradict his declaration, and yet the korban does not fulfill the owner's requirement. So in the Gemara, ihachi, if shinui kodesh that Rabbo said is kosher is because you have maise mochiach, machvas l'shem marcheshes nami, why couldn't you say that the case that Rabbo said was so kosher, the machvas l'shem marcheshes, where Rabbo said that was kosher because of maise mochiach, I can say it's not maise mochiach. Hi, de kokomitz lo lemarcheshes, the fact that he is taking the handful of the meal offering as a marcheshes, even though he is going to be bringing it in a machvas, a flat pan, and he declares that he's doing it as a deep pan korban, Omar, the onlooker, could say, hi, b'marcheshes nodar, this guy really did make a marcheshes vow, like his declaration. And that which he's bringing in the deep pan, the machvas, really the marcheshes he, it is in truth a marcheshes like his declaration, and the action that he's doing doesn't clearly demonstrate that it's a machvas. And he's simply violating the rules and is bringing a marcheshes in a machvas. And therefore, through that he's bringing it in a machvas doesn't show us that he did not vow to bring a marcheshes. And the question goes back to the basic rule that Rabbo gave, that when you have maise mochiach, the vow, the machshava, the declaration is totally void. But according to what you said just before this internal brackets, that you can have a situation where an action seems to be clearly demonstrating not like his machshava, but we had just answered, Rabbah had just answered that you can have a situation where the action isn't such a clear declaration, because maybe his action doesn't contradict the declaration. His action is simply according to his declaration, and he's simply violating the rules of his declaration. The Gemara answers, Hossam, in the case of the machvas l'shem marcheshes, ki nami b'marcheshes nodar, even if he did vow to bring it as a marcheshes, even if his original vow was to bring it as a marcheshes, ki maisi lo b'machvas, when he brings it in a, he brings it on a machvas, on a flat pan, machvas havyo, it becomes a machvas. Kedisnan, ha'oimer hare'olai b'machvas ve'hevi b'marcheshes. If a person says, I want to bring a machvas, and he ends up bringing it as a marcheshes, or he says, hare alai b'marcheshes, v'hevi b'machvas, ma shehevi hevi, v'yedei nidro lo yotza, that which he brings is kosher, and his original vow he does not fulfill. So, this is not a case, this case that we just raised is not going to challenge the idea of Me'evar Huda Ovar. Because in this case, a machvas that he brings as a marcheshes, a machvas that he declares to be a marcheshes, if in fact he were to go all the way, so to speak, and bring it as a marcheshes, it would turn into a marcheshes. Or more accurately, if the fellow had brought a machvas and declared that he was bringing it as a marcheshes, even if he had taken a vow to bring a marcheshes, if he brings it as a machvas, it will be a kosher machvas. The Gemara asks, V'dilma zu omar? In order to appreciate this question, we have to look into the Rashi. In the upper part of the page, you'll notice a star to help you find where we're going to be reading from. Rashi there says, Hochi garsinon v'dilma zu omar, klomar, akati lo minkara. Still, things are not clear. We don't have a clear demonstration. De Savri, people will think, kushto ko'omar, de lashum marcheshes nodar, where you have a person bringing a machvas and declaring that it is a marcheshes, people will think that his original vow was a marcheshes vow. Umeaver ovar v'asye b'machvas, and he's simply violating his original words and bringing it as a machvas. Ude ko'amris kivan d'asye b'machvas machvas havya, and if you try to say, well, that since he's bringing it as a machvas, it turns into a machvas, Iko lemeimar loihi. I can still argue back and say that's not so. The dilmo mincha zu ovi b'marcheshes omar. Maybe his original declaration was a specific type of vow where he focused his words on the flower in front of him, and he said, "This material I will bring as a marcheshes." The su lo motzi lishnuya lemachvas. At that point, it cannot convert into a machvas anymore. V'ha de komatz l'shem marcheshes shaper komatz, and his declaration of it being a marcheshes is in fact a valid declaration. Let's go back to the Gemara and read it. V'dilma zu omar, and skipping this parenthesis section, kidisnan, zu lahavi b'machvas, vehevi b'marcheshes. If he made a specific declaration on the flower and said, this I'm going to bring as a machvas, and he brings it as a marcheshes, b'marcheshes, vehevi b'machvas, where he said, I'm going to bring this as a marcheshes, and he brings it as a machvas, hare zu psula. So we see it's puzzle. So what is the point over here? We see that even though you have a case of what would seem to be a maise mochiach, it's not so mochiach. Maybe what he declares is what it really is. The Gemara says, L'rabbonon hochinami. In fact, according to the Shitas HaRabbonon, what was cited in this Tanaic source, in fact, would be the case. That you have to take into consideration that his bringing of it, his declaration, which counters his actions, was in fact an outgrowth of an original vow that corresponds to his declaration. However, the Rabbi Shimon, Kevan di Omer Rabbi Shimon, Af Yidei Nidro Yotza, according to Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, that says that when you have an action that counters his declaration, the declaration is of no meaning, and he even fulfills his original vow. Alma, we see, Kviusa Demona Velo Klumhu, the declaration of the type of vessel is of no significance whatsoever. Velo Shno Omar Zu, Velo Shno Omar Olai. It makes no difference whether he said Zu or he said Olai. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you have a case of someone who was bringing a machvas and he declared it was a marcheshes, even in the case that he said Zu Lahavi Marcheshes, it still would be a good machvas as long as he brings it as on a machvas, on a flat pan, and his declaration of I want to bring it in a marcheshes, a deep pan, would be of no consequence. That's what we mean by kviusa demona. The declaration of the type of pan would be of no consequence. So up till this point in the Gemara, as far as Rabba's understanding is concerned, when you have an action that clearly contradicts his original, the action that contradicts his declaration, the declaration is of no consequence. And we follow the action that he's doing, and we will say that he'll even be fulfilling his original vow with the korban that he is bringing. The Gemara asks, well, what about the next case? Oilo sheshochat l'shem chatos teratzeh, a korban ola that he slaughters, declaring it as a chatos. This should fulfill his original ola vow. Dehai zocher v'hai nekeva. The ola is a male animal. The chatos is a female animal. So the declaration of it being a chatos, when in fact he's bringing a male animal, is a clear demonstration that it is an ola. And yet, we say that an ola that's done l'shem chatos does not fulfill, the owner will not fulfill his obligations with this. But why should that be? The Gemara answers, since there is a type of chatos that is also a male, and that's a chatos nosi, or the soyer nosi, when a king violates a korban, an aveira that requires a chatos to be brought, he brings a male chatos. And therefore, you don't have lo yodia, means it's not obvious, this thing is not an obvious ola. Well, what about this variation on that original point? Omar, he said on a male animal, l'shem chatos yochid, my ikol lemeimar. Why is it that if he takes a male animal and declares, I am doing this as a private korban chatos, which is a female, which must be a female, why is it that if he, let us say, took a male animal, declared it to be a male animal, which is an ola, let's say that more accurately. He has a korban ola that, of course, has to be a male animal, and he declares that he is doing it as a chatas yochid. This is slightly different than the case before where he said, I'm doing it as a chatas. Here he's saying, I'm doing it as a chatas yochid. What are you going to say then? Shouldn't he be yotze his ola vow with this false declaration? It's obviously not a chatas yochis. You have an action, you have the bringing of a male animal that clearly demonstrates that his declaration is of no consequence. Vesu, and furthermore, chatas yochid, a person who has to bring a private sin offering, which is supposed to be a female, sheshochto l'shem oilo, and he declares that he's doing this female animal as an ola, teratzeh, he should be able to fulfill his chatos requirement with this, even though his declaration is phony, the chatos nekev of oilo zohar. So do we not have something that's obviously contradicting his declaration? And according to Rabba's rule, when you have a situation like that, you go according to the action. So if this person had a sin offering requirement, a chatas yochid requirement, and he's bringing a female, that clearly contradicts his declaration of slaughtering it as an ola. The Gemara answers, it's not such a clear repudiation of his declaration, because mechasya ba'alya, the gender identification, may be in fact covered by the alya. Mechasya means covered by the tail, the alya. And as a result of that, you have an animal whose gender is not so obvious, so that when he's bringing when he's bringing what is supposedly his chatas yochid, and he declares it as an ola, since the gender identity of the animal isn't so obvious, one may see this and think that in fact it is an ola, and therefore, therefore Rava would agree that in this case he's not yotze his chatos obligation. Ha teinach hecho da icy kifsa. That is true when the animal that he's bringing is a sheep. In the case of a sheep, the sheep has an alya, a fat tail, which covers the gender identity. Aisi Seira Mai Iko Lememar. Let's say he's bringing a female. Let's say he's bringing a female goat. A female goat is an animal that is suitable for his Chatas Yochid. He brings it and declares that he is shechting it as an Ola. Shouldn't it be clear, a clear demonstration that it's not an Ola? He have a Maisi Mochiach that what his declaration is of no consequence. Why then is he not going to fulfill his Chatas requirement with this Seira? The Gemara answers, Ela bein zechorim lenekevos lav adatayu deinshi. People don't pay close attention to the gender of animals that are brought. So even though in reality it may be a female animal, nevertheless we don't have a clear demonstration through what he's doing that it is not an ola. So therefore, the action doesn't clearly countermand his declaration, and as a result of that, he is not yotze his original vow or his original requirement. What about this case? Pesach sheshochtoi l'shem osham lirtzi, a korban pesach, which is a brought as a tzon, which is a sheep or goats that are under a year of age. He brings it and declares that he's doing a korban osham. Let that be an acceptable pesach, and yet we know that it's not considered an acceptable pesach. But why is it not an acceptable pesach? The high ben shana v'high ben shtayim. A pesach is less than a year in age. An osham is a 2 year old animal. The Gemara answers his declaration of it being an osham is not absolutely contradicted by the fact that you have a young animal. Since there are types of osham korbanos, the osham brought by a nazir, the nazir who was tomei and has to get back into his tohar mode of counting his naziris, at the end of the tumah period he brings an osham, and a mitzora when he completes his mitzora impurity period, there is an osham that's brought. Those are 1 year old animals like the Pesach. Therefore, his declaration of it being an osham is not a conclusively meaningless declaration, because there are types of ashamas that are the same age as the Pesach. And therefore, Pesach that's done l'shem osham is not acceptable. It's a machshava that's not repudiated by the fact that he's bringing a young animal. Question. Omar, he said on a Pesach, L'shum asham gezelos l'shum asham i'ilois ma'iko l'meimar. Let's say he brings a korban Pesach, a one-year-old animal, or under a year old, and he declares that he's bringing it as an osham gezelo or an osham ilo, without getting into the details of the type of korban or the background of the korban. Needless to say, these are two-year-old korbanos. They're supposed to be two-year-old animals. So if he's bringing a one-year-old animal, declaring that it's a Pesach, it's clear that it's a Pesach. We have a clear demonstration countering his declaration. So what are you going to say then? In other words, why is it that such a Pesach, in fact, is not acceptable? But this, and that would that would show to the contrary of Rabbah's rule. V'su, osham gezelos v'osham ilos sheshochtom l'shem Pesach lirtzu. Let's say a person had violated an avera which requires the bringing of an osham gezela, or he had been benefited from kochim, which makes him obligated to bring an osham ila, and he brings his osham gezela, osham ila, which is a two-year-old animal, and he declares that he's shechting it as a Pesach. Let it be acceptable. The Pesach ben shana vahani ben shtei shanim. The Pesach is a 1 year old animal, and these are 2 year old animals. And if he's bringing a 2 year old animal, it's clear that it's not a Pesach, so shouldn't we totally disregard his declaration, and it should be an acceptable Oshem Gezel or Oshem Ila? And yet we know that it's not. Elo, the Gemara answers on behalf of Rabbah, Bain ben shana lebain ben shtei shanim lav adatayu deinshi. Age recognition. The difference between a one-year-old and a two-year-old animal, people don't pay attention to, or it's not noticeable to people. De'iko ben shana de'mechzika ben shtayim. There are young animals that mature rapidly and they look like two-year-old animals. De'iko ben shtayim de'mechzika ben shana. And there are also older animals, two-year-old animals, that don't mature according to their expected maturation rate. The Mexica ben shana, they look like one-year-old animals. They look young. Therefore, though he may be bringing something that's chronologically 2 years old, it's not a clear demonstration that it's not a Pesach. What about this case? So'ir sheshachtoi l'shum osham lirtzi. A goat that he brings and declares that it's a korban osham. Let it be an acceptable korban according to what he originally vowed, and that his declaration as it being an osham is void. Dahai, the osham, which is supposed to be a sheep, dahai tsemer, it has wool on it. An osham is an animal, it's a woolly animal. Dahai seer, and the so'ir, the goat, doesn't have wool, it has hair on it. So since he's bringing a hairy animal, if you will, a non-wool furred animal, it's clear that it's not an osham. The Gemara answers, there is a case of an animal that in fact is acceptable as an osham, but gives the impression that it is a non-wool thing. Amri dichra uchma hu. The hairy animal may in fact be a ram, a black ram, and this kind of animal is kosher as an osham. So if we look at the Rashi, Amri dichra uchmahu, Rashi says, Savri ayil shochar hu. People will think it's a black ram. Ulochi nokat uchma, and the reason the example of the Gemara is black, it uses uchma, which is black, distam si'irim shechorim heim. Your average goat is black. So if he brings a so'ir, is a black furred animal, it may in fact be in the minds of people an animal that is suitable as an osham. They will misconstrue the goat as being a black ram, and in fact in a black ram is something that's suitable for as an osham, and therefore he is not going to be fulfilling his original vow if he declares the so'ir that he's bringing to be an osham. What about the following case? Egel upar sheshochtam l'shum pesach v'osham lirtzu. A person brings a calf or a cow as a particular korban, and he declares that it is a korban osh a pesach or a korban osham. Could we not agree that in that case his declaration is a joke, is meaningless, and as a result of that he should be fulfilling his original vow? The egel upar bepesach v'osham leka, a calf or a cow as a pesach and osham cannot be. A pesach and osham come only from light cattle, namely from sheep and goats, not from calves and cows. So is it not so that here we have a declaration that's clearly repudiated by the facts on the ground? The Gemara says, in hachi nami. This case would be a good example. This would be a good example where Rabbah, according to Reb Shimon, in other words, Rabbah's version of Rabbi Shimon would tell you that you will be fulfilling your original vow in this case. the Egel being declared as a Pesach or an Osham, the declaration there is a total joke, and the declaration would not affect his original vow. The my zvachim, and what is meant by the original comment of Rabbi Shimon that bezvachim eino kain, the in our original source where we where Rabbah was dealing with Rabbi Shimon, it was pointed out that by Menachas and Minchas Machbas is done as a Marcheshis is kosher, Mashe'en kain bezvachim, which is as opposed to the case of Zvachim, where the where Reb Shimon had mentioned Shena Menachas Doimus Lizvachim, giving us the impression that only in the case of Mincha would an action effectively neutralize or nullify the declaration, but that's not the case of Zvachim. That is true with regard to most Zvachim, that's Rov Zvachim. In the case of Rov Zvachim, as we just demonstrated in this entire sugya, in the case of Rov Zvachim, so the action doesn't clearly demonstrate a countering of his declaration. But in this last example, the action of bringing a korban, a cow or a calf, clearly countermands his declaration of it being a Pesach or an Osham. And in fact, this case of Zvachim would be like the case of Menachas, and the korban would be a totally acceptable korban as it was originally designed for whatever he brought his egel or par, and his declaring it a Pesach or an Osham would be of no meaning. You can see that at this point the brackets closes, and we now have, we'll just take stock of what we have up till this point, and that is that Rabbah explained the contradiction in Rabbi Shimon's on Daf Beis, where Rabbi Shimon says that a mincha that's done shelo lishma, the owner fulfills his original requirement. That's because there was a shinui kodesh. He brought a particular mincha and declared it as a different type of mincha. And since in the case of Menachas, the action clearly shows that his declaration, or let's say it again, his declaration is clearly repudiated by his action, the declaration is of no concern to us. In the case of Shinui Bailim, on the other hand, where Reb Shimon says the owner does not fulfill his original requirement, there, Shinui Bailim, it was a korban that was owned by Reuven, and the Kohen declared that he was doing it as Shimon's. There's no inherent demonstration in the korban that it's not Shimon's. Therefore, Reuven would not be able to fulfill his requirement with such a bringing. Rava, you see with our bow tie form, and we already explained these markings on Daf Beis, this is another approach to resolve the two sources in which Reb Shimon appeared seemingly contradictory. We've indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a number 2 in a Roman numeral number 2 in a bow tie, with an indication that number 1 was coming from Beis Amid Beis. Rava Omar, Lo Kashya, the two sources that we had seen on Beis Amid Beis with regard to Rabbi Shimon are not contradictory. Kan b'koymitz mincha l'shum mincha, kan b'koymitz mincha l'shum zevach. Where Rabbi Shimon says that he is ola, that it's olulo, that the owner fulfills his obligation, that's where the Kohen took the handful of the mincha with a mincha mindset. That's a mincha l'shum mincha. Even though he was taking a mincha l'shum, a minchas machbas l'shem minchas marcheshes, he is yotze. Kan bekoimetz mincha l'shum zevach, where he's taking the handful of the korban mincha, of a meal offering, and declaring it as a zevach. A zevach, generally speaking, is a word associated with animal offerings that are slaughtered. In that case, lo olu, and we'll see why. Mincha l'shul mincha, the Gemara explains, v'zois toras ha-mincha. There's a pasuk that says, zois toras ha-mincha, which means toru achas l'chol ha-menachas, one umbrella, if you will, that covers, one rule that covers all menachas. So that if you're doing a mincha with the intention of a different kind of mincha, it gets the okay by virtue of this pasuk. However, mincha l'shul zevach, v'zois toras ha-mincha v'zevach lo ksiv. There is no pasuk that creates this umbrella that covers menachas and zvachim together. So that a mincha done l'shem zevach, there is no pasuk to give an approval of that. The Gemara asks, but as far as the source where Reb Shimon says that, where he says his original comment, it doesn't say, it doesn't make reference to the pasuk. V'ha tano v'pnei shima'aseha mochichin oleha ka'omar. The Tana said that it's something is considered kosher because his action shows that his declaration is of no meaning. The maisa, his action, proves what it is. Therefore, a mincha l'shem zevach should also be kosher. After all, it's clearly a mincha, not an animal offering. Hachi komar. So Rava explains what was meant in the source when it said ma'aseh mochichan aleha. Afalgav demachshava delo minkiro hi v'tifsal. Even though we have a declaration that does not appear to be truthful. Rather, it's a declaration that's clearly a lie, and it should be pasul because his maisa is mochiach that he is lying. Therefore, one would have thought, and this is what the source is trying to convey when it says, "Mipnei shemaseh mochichan aleha," we have an action where he's bringing a machvas, declaring it a mar cheshes. And I would have thought that we see this guy's clearly lying. He's bringing a machvas, and while he is declaring that it's a mar cheshes. And since we have a person whose action is showing us that he's a liar, we should render such a korban unfit. V'zois teres hamincha. The pasuk comes to counter our thought here, our havamina, and the pasuk says toiru achas l'chol hamenachas, which means that even though we have on hand someone who's clearly a liar by virtue of the fact that his action clearly repudiates his declaration, and I would have thought that such a thing should not be acceptable, the pasuk says v'zois toras hamincha, that all menachas are covered by this pasuk, that even though he's doing something that's obviously a lie, it's still acceptable. Umay avol bezvochim eino kein. What is meant by that comment that Reb Shimon had made, that by slaughtered animals it's not so? Because according to what we're saying right now, with regard to animals, there's basically one shechita that covers all of them. There you have someone who's action doesn't clearly repudiate his declaration, and there, in the case of Zvochim, if he's bringing an Ola, let's say, and declaring that it's a Chatos, since a Chatos and Ola have the same kind of Shechita, they have the same Kabbalah, etc., we don't have a clear liar on hand, and as a result of that, if you're telling me that in a case of a clear liar, the Torah is making it acceptable, in the case where he's not clearly lying, it should all the more be acceptable. So why does Rabbi Shimon say that in the case of Zvachim, it's not like the case of Menachas, giving us the feeling that in the case of Zvachim, he would not fulfill his requirement? The Gemara answers, Afal gav de shechita achas lekulan. Even though what we just said rings of truth. Even though it's one slaughtering for all the korbanos. Nevertheless, v'zois teras hamincha v'zevach lo ksiv. The pasuk does not give license and approval to a person who makes a declaration that counters his original vow or his original obligation, even though it may not be obvious. Elo me'ato. Chatos elo me'ato is based on what we're saying now. Chatos chelev, based on the let's say acceptability granted to a low lishma korban, based on v'zos toras, where you have a pasuk that says v'zos toras, creating an umbrella situation. What about the following? And we have a long question on hand. You'll notice the long question mark to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. Chatos chelev sheshochta l'shem chatos dam l'shem chatos l'shum chatos avilis chovim l'shum chatos nozir l'shum chatos mitzora tehei ksheiro v'teratzeh. If a person had, let us say, been obligated to bring a korban because he ate blood, or he ate chalev. Let's say the example of the Gemara is a chatas chalev. Chalev is a forbidden fat that's found inside of animals. And one who eats it inadvertently is chayev a chatas. And it's called a chatas chalev, which is almost a generic term for all for many, many chatois. But in this case, we have to be specific. A person who had eaten chalev and is obligated to bring a chatas for that. And he declares that I'm bringing it for the purpose of dam, for the purpose of, let's say, atonement for having eaten dam, or for having served idols, or having been a nozir, or a matzora. Now, we know that it's not acceptable if he shechts the chatas chayuv, declaring that it's a different kind of chatas, but it should be acceptable to heik sheira v'teratzeh. It should be kosher, and the owner should fulfill his requirement. D'yom rachman of azoz teras achatos, Torah achas l'chol chatois. The Torah, just like we said by the mincha, we have a similar pasuk here, an umbrella type pasuk that would create Torah achas l'chol chatois. So the Gemara says the Rabbi Shimon Hochinami. You know what? If a person has a chatas chelev obligation, and he declares it to be a chatas for a different type of sin, he will fulfill his chatas chelev requirement, according to Rabbi Shimon. The Omar Rava, chatas chelev sheshachta. A person who has a chatas chelev obligation, and he shechs it l'shem chatas dam, l'shum chatas avodas kechavim, ksheira. L'shem chatas nozir, l'shem chatas mitzora, psula. If, however, he shechs it as a chatas for a nozir or a chatas for mitzora, it will be unacceptable. And it's true, in the original example, in the question, we lumped all the chatos together. And we said that in the case, they should all be kosher because of the umbrella pasuk. So the Gemara is answering, in fact, in some of the cases, the incorrect declaration is acceptable all the same, and that's in the case of the chatas chayav that he brings, declares it as a chatas dam or a chatas avodas chovim, that is kosher. Just take note of the fact we have a Roman numeral number one, because on this point, on a couple of lines, we're going to see a differing opinion. If, however, he declares it to be his chatas chelev as a chatas nozir or chatas mitzora, that is unacceptable. And the reason for that is, dahani oilois ninhu. The word olos is to be taken with a grain of, not a grain of salt, but with a certain amount of reservation. It means that a chatas nozir or chatas mitzora, these are not sacrifices brought for atonement purposes. They're brought as machshirim. And since the nature of the chatos is different than the nature of a chatos chelev, which is an atonement korban, being that the chatos nozir and the chatos mitzora are non-atonement korbanos, they are like a korban olah. And as a result of that, you have a chatos being shechted as if it were an ola, not literally an ola, but with the intention of a type of chatos that serves the function of an ola, in so far as it is a non, it's not designed primarily as an atonement korban, that is therefore not covered by the umbrella pasuk of Ezois Taras Achatas. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Masni Le Lekulhu Lepsula. Here you see your Roman numeral number 2. Whereas in the first approach, a chatas chelev dan l'shem chatas dam would be okay, this approach is saying that they're all posel, even according to Rabbi Shimon, including the case of chatas chelev shem chatas dam, v'shochat osa l'chatas. That's what the pasuk says, v'shochat osa l'chatas, which means l'shem oisoi chatas, that chatas that one brings must be slaughtered with the intent of the what that original chatas obligation was supposed to be. And if he had eaten chalev, it's being brought to atone for chalev eating and not for some other kind of offense, even if it be also a punishable offense, like the case of dam, where it's chayev kores, just like chalev is. But nevertheless, the pasuk limits the kashrus, the acceptability of the chatos, provided it's shechted with the intent of the original sin that it was designed to atone for. We now notice another bow tie, and it's called number 3. Rav Ashi, and this means, we should point out once again, Rav Ashi likewise is coming to resolve the contradiction in Rabbi Shimon from Daf Beis Amid Beis. Rav Ashi Omar lo kashya kan bekoimetz machvas l'shum marcheshes, kan bekoimetz minchas machvas l'shum minchas marcheshes. The case of a mincha shelo l'shma, that's okay, is if he says, I'm doing a machvas as a marcheshes. In the case that Rabbi Shimon said he does not fulfill his requirement, that's in a case where he does a minchas machvas as and declares it to be a minchas marcheshes. The Gemara goes over this again. You'll notice that we keep the markings, the lettering, aleph, and a couple lines from now, beis, to correspond to the aleph and beis that we just had encircled. Machvas l'shum marcheshes, where Rav Ashi claims the person that Rav Shimon would say he fulfills his original machvas, minchas machvas obligation, b'mono k'machashev, all he is declaring is the name of a vessel. A marcheshes is a type of vessel. It's a deep pan. U'machshava b'mono lo posla, an incorrect intention where all that's declared is the vessel, a vessel declaration is of no consequence. However, minchas machvas l'shum minchas marcheshes b'mincha de posla bo machshava k'machashev. His declaration entails the citing of mincha. He says, "I'm bringing he's bringing a minchas machvas and declaring it to be a minchas marcheshes." Since in his declaration he's making a mention of mincha, and a mincha is something that's susceptible to an incorrect mindset. Here, the declaration will adversely affect the person's obligation. The Gemara asks, "V'hotana mitneishim asem mochichan olel komar." The Tana had expressed that the acceptability would be based on the fact that his maisa shows otherwise. So, how does that conform to that which Rav Ashi is saying, that the acceptability is from the fact that he made no mention of mincha? Hochi ka'omar. This is the way to understand the original source. Afalgav de machshava de lo minkarhi v'tifsal. Even though, and this is very similar to the approach that Rava took with regard to this same question, that even though we have a machshava, a declaration, that is not clear as truthful. It's rather obviously a lie, and that would be grounds for rendering it unfit. Nevertheless, since he did not make any mention of the of mincha, he simply said machvas l'shem marcheshes. Nevertheless, it will be acceptable because he made no mention of mincha. So that what do we have here? What the source is saying is that even though his maisa is mochiach, that he is lying, since he didn't use the word mincha in his declaration, it's acceptable. Umay avo bezvachim eino kein. What is meant by this expression? And as we said before, that if you're trying to tell me that where something appears to be a lie, and yet we are going to accept it, where something doesn't appear to be a lie, we should all the more accept it. The Gemara explains. Rabbi Shimon is telling us that even though in the case of sacrifices, it's the same action applies to all different kinds of animal sacrifices, and that would be a reason for accepting lo lishma zvachim, lo lishma animal sacrifices. Nevertheless, bezvicha teposla be machshava komechashev. He is nevertheless declaring his incorrect machshava in the realm of slaughtering, and slaughtering is something that is susceptible to an incorrect machshava, and as a result of that, his incorrect machshava will render it unfit. Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Chareva mishum belula. If a person brought a chareva, a non-oil mincha, and he declared that he was doing it as a belula, the source had taught that he fulfills his obligation even though he has a declaration that counters his the original purpose of the korban, or the original identity of the korban. Amai, why is it ole? Why does he fulfill his obligation? Amai omar Rabbi Shimon. In other words, why does Rabbi Shimon say he fulfills his obligation? This is a declaration that doesn't have a kli in it. We said above that Rabbi Shimon declares things to be acceptable when, according to Rav Ashi, when it's a machshava that mentions the vessel alone. Here we don't have the mentioning of a vessel. So why should he be yotze with this? Omar le, l'shum bilo ba'almo. Rav Ashi answers that since he did not say mincho chareva, l'shem mincho belula, what he's saying by saying chareva mishum belula is meaningless. Once again, Rav Ashi, true to his original answer, that the only time something is called pasul is lo olu, is if he says, uses the term mincho in his declaration. Here, he's not using the term mincho in his declaration. The Gemara asks, well, I hachi, l'shum shlomim nami. In the case of Zvachim, why is Rabbi Shimon modeh? Let us say he took a korban ola and shechted as a shlomim. Why is he not yotze his ola requirement? Could we not say that when he says shlomim, l'shum shlomim be'alma? He's simply saying, for the purpose of making peace, the word shlomim from the word shalom, that I'm bringing this ola for making peace between me and my Creator. The Gemara answers, in the case of Zvachim, it's different. Hochi hashta, how can you compare? Hosam zevach gufo ikri shlomim. The name of the sacrifice is a shlomim. So that if he's bringing Ola, and slaughtering it as a shlomim, it's clear that he is derailing its original intention by his declaring it to be another kind of korban. And we know that the shlomim is called a shlomim, and it's not merely a description of creating peace, but its proper name is shlomim. Dichtiv hamakriv es dam hashlomim, hazorek es dam hashlomim. We have psukim where you see the word shlomim used to refer to the specific korban called a korban shlomim. Hocha, but in the case that Rav Acha raised, charevo mishum blula, mincha gufa mi ikri blula, is the name of the mincha blula, v'chol mincha blula b'shemen ksiv, blula b'shemen ikri, blula stama, lo ikri. The pasuk refers to it as blula b'shemen. Its proper name is blula b'shemen, not blula. Blula means simply mixed. Therefore, the machshav of charevo mishum blula is what we call ruach b'alma, is of no significance. So at this point in the Gemara, if we just take stock of everything we've seen from Daf Beis till now, we had a seeming contradiction in Rabbi Shimon, where a mincha shelo lishma, on the one hand, Rabbi Shimon says the original owner fulfills his requirements even though he's doing it shelo lishma. We had a second source on Daf Beis and Mabeis where Rabbi Shimon said that a mincha shelo lishma, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. We saw the resolution to that contradiction by brought to us by Rabba, Rava, and now Rav Ashi. At this point, the Gemara says, why each one of these Amoraim does not say like the other? And you'll notice in our outside margin, we have a takno say, a sub-topic heading, Loma Rabba, Rava, Rav Ashi, Kol Echod, Lo Tiretz, Sastira, Berebi Shimon, Kemo Hasheni. Why each one doesn't answer like the other? Kulhu, Kerabba, Lo Amri, all of them do not say like Rabba was on Daf Beis Amid Beis. The other Rabba, Machshava de Minkura Posal Rachmona. They hold, Rava and Ravashi hold counter to Rabba. Rabba said that if you have a Machshava that's repudiated in an obvious fashion by his action, the action overrules the machshava, showing us the machshava is meaningless. They hold to the contrary. You have a person who's clearly lying. He's doing an action clearly counter to what he said he was doing. So we see the person's comments, his statements, his declarations are of a false nature. That kind of thing, all the more so, we render invalid. And Rashi had explained earlier that if we were to say otherwise, one would think that you're allowed to lie while bringing sacrifices. So as to demonstrate that one's not allowed to lie, if you have a machshava that's nikar, that's clear, that's obvious, that he's lying, that in fact is grounds for rendering it unfit. Kerova lo amri. The others, Rabba and Ravashi, did not answer like Rava. Rava's answer was based on the presence of an umbrella pasuk, v'zois teras hamincha. They will say, v'zois teras lo mashmalu. They don't see significance in that pasuk, v'zois teras. Kirav Ashi lo amri. The Rabba and Rava don't answer like Rav Ashi. They don't answer the contradiction in Rav Shimon's based on Rav Ashi's answer, which involved a machvas lushumacheshes, where there was mention of vessel alone. That's the case that Rav Shimon says is acceptable. Mishum, why do they not accept Rav Ashi's approach? Mishum kushya de Rav Acha brei de Rava, because of Rav Acha brei de Rava's question. And we have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, pointing up, pointing to the line, or indicating to align this with the previous arrow where Rav Acha actually appeared. And Rav Acha had raised the question that based on Rav Ashi's answer, the case of Machvas Lashum, the case of Chareva Lashem Blula, should not be acceptable. And Rabba and Rava held that his question was a strong question. Therefore, they did not accept Rav Ashi's resolution. The Gemara at this point points out that which was obvious to Rabba and Rava was a point of question with regard to Rav Hoshaya. Milsa de pshita le larabo lahaygisa, ularavo lahaygisa, miboyale larav Hoshaya. That which was obvious to Rabba on the one hand, where Rabba had said that a machshava that's nicker, that he's lying, is a non-machshava, does not pasul. And Rava, on the other hand, said just the opposite, that a machshava that's clear to us that he is lying is grounds for rendering unfit. Rav Hoshaya didn't have this clarity that they had, that each one of them had. The boy, Rav Hoshaya. And we'll note at the same time that we have a long question marking that starts here. You can see a shin that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it runs down the upper lines of the Avdalet Amud Aleph to the fourth line from the top, where the end of the question appears. The boy Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya asks, V'amri lo, another version of this is, boy mine Rav Hoshaya merabi asi. Rav Hoshaya directed the question to Rabbi Asi, Mincha l'shum zevach, ma li omar Rabbi Shimon. What would Rabbi Shimon say in the case of someone who brings a mincha and declares that it is a zevach? Notice the question is divided into an aleph o dilma bay structure. The aleph here, the third line from the top, you notice the o dilma is squiggle underline, and then bays. Taima de Rabbi Shimon mishum machshava de minkara lo pasla, v'ha machshava de minkrahi. Does Rabbi Shimon hold that things are acceptable when the machshava is clear that it's not, that his is by his action, it's clear that his machshava is not what it is, and in such a case, Rabbi Shimon says things are acceptable, and that's like Rabba's approach. So this is a machshava that's nicker, that's clear that it's not what it is, because he's doing a mincha l'shem zevach. Well, we see him bringing a meal offering. It's clear that it's not an animal. Oy dilma taima de Rabbi Shimon mishum dichtiv v'zois. Or the reason for Rabbi Shimon is based on the umbrella pasuk dichtiv v'zois toras hamincha v'zevach lo ksiv. And it doesn't say v'zevach. It doesn't say in the umbrella pasuk zevach as well, coming under the umbrella. And if that be the case, so then mincha l'shem zevach would not be acceptable. So according to the first possibility, the reason for Reb Shimon who says that a mincha shelo l'shma is kosher is because the declaration, his lo lishma declaration, is clearly repudiated by his action. If that be the case, then a mincha l'shem zevach should be kosher. On the other hand, maybe the basis of Rabbi Shimon holding that a mincha shelo lishma is acceptable is because of the umbrella pasuk, but the umbrella pasuk does not include zevach. Omar Lei, Rav Asi answers, Klum Higanu Lesov Daitel to show Rabbi Shimon. Have we achieved a true understanding of Rabbi Shimon? So Rav Asi says this is actually a very vague issue. The basis of Rabbi Shimon remains vague. At this point, though, one might ask, well, but didn't we have already answers that clarified Rabbi Shimon? For some reason, the Rav Asi here is not answering Rav Hoshaya's question based on any of the answers or any of the explanations that we saw previously. The Gemara points out, Karabo lo mishani lei. Rav Asi did not answer Rav Hoshaya's question based on Rabo's explanation, mishum kushyo de Abaye, because of Abaye's question on Rabo that we had seen on Daf Beis Amud Beis. There, Abaye had said, the Torah passels incorrect machshavas. What difference does it make whether it's a shinui kodesh or a shinui bailim? And just like shinui doesn't, just like a Shinui Bailam would render something unfit, the Shinui Kodesh should also render it unfit. And just like by Zvochim, a Shinui Kodesh is not Ole, so too, in the case of Mincha, a Shinui Kodesh should not be Ole. He shouldn't fulfill his requirement. Kirova lo mishani lei. Rav Asi did not answer Rav Ashai's question based on Rova either, mishum de kashya v'zois Torah sachatos. According to Rova, the mincha shelo lishma was good because of the umbrella pasuk, so the same should have been the case with regard to chatos, and we saw that it did not work that way, that v'zois Torah sachatos did not function as an umbrella. An umbrella allowing chatos done with different types of chatos in mind to be acceptable. Kirav Ashi lo mishani le. Rav Asi did not answer Rav Oshaya's question based on Rav Ashi's explanation either. Mishum kushya the Rav Acha bre the Rava, because of Rav Acha's question that we saw most recently concerning the chareva lishum blula. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.